Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. These are Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inhu, nastaghfirhu wa nukminu bihi izza wa jalla. All praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We ask Him for help. We turn to Him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. As-salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi kareem. And we pray the prayers and the peace upon Allah's most noble and generous messenger, Muhammad, alayhi salam. Alhamdulillah, the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. And I come to you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. Welcome once more to the broadcast of The Female Solution. Praise be to Allah that is shared here on American Muslim 360. American Muslim 360 is a a arm of the community-wide Shura Conference. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I'm awaiting my co-host. I am Kareem Hamid. Let me properly introduce myself. Half of the host of the Female Solution, and the other half is our beloved
Pain.
Naima Lepke.
Is what we're looking at today. In particular, we're taking a look at the relationship between mothers and sons. Because there are some deep and profound things that happen in the shaping of the self-esteem of men that causes behaviors later in life that affect the world, not just their immediate society, but all the lives that they touch. And if we knew how powerful our words were to the shaping of the self-esteem of our sons, we, the mothers, would be much more mindful of how we are speaking and what we are saying and the impact of what we're making our sons feel. Maya Angelou said that people don't always remember what you did, but they remember how you made them feel. And this is what we're looking at today. How are we making our sons feel? And how is that feeling translated into the way they then are behaving and how they are making others feel? There is so much anger from men towards women. Even things that create distortions in our religious teachings. How is it that every teaching on the planet has evolved into such a misogynistic, woman-hating belief that no matter what the original revelation is or was, somehow it has devolved into a confirmation, a consent, a decision that the creator of the universe has a preference of men over women and a subtle dislike for women to the degree that men are urged to mistreat women. Where is that coming from? How does that keep manifesting? That is not from the mind of the Creator. That is not from the loving energy of creation. Why is it it's in every religion? What was in the hearts of the men? I mean, I'm not bashing you. I want us to self-examine, not to point fingers of blame at the men, but look at the root. Why are their scriptures interpreted to say that men should beat their wives or that wives should just keep silent or that it's okay to rape? Why are there interpretations like that in religious scriptures? Where did that hostility come from? We have to take a look at this because it's so damaging. It's so destructive. It's so hurtful. And we don't want to continue having a relationship with men that is hostile and dysfunctional and rooted in anger and fear. Because if you fear someone, that means you don't trust them. And how can you find trust and love when there are beliefs that God has commanded men to brutalize women? Why are we believing that? So we want to take a quick break and come back with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. And we want you to join us. And if you want to join us on Blog Talk, you can call in 515-605-9325 or call in on our American Muslim 360 channel, 515-605-9891, and make sure you press 1 so that we know you have something to say. And if you'd like to join us visually, you can join us on the Female Solution Facebook page or the Female Solution YouTube channel and write in your comments. We want to hear from you because it's time for us to heal the hurt so that the foundation of the relationship between mothers and sons is healthy, so that what we say to the sons produce men who love women and not men who resent women. What are we saying to our sons? We'll be right back after this quick break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, this is the Preeta Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Do you feel stuck? If you answered
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
.com or 312-409-6600.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we are back. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Our sister Naima, I believe your mic may be on mute. We're not hearing you, and your mic is open. And let me give you the greetings, if you can hear my voice, of Assalamu Alaikum. That is to peace be upon you and peace be upon us all. We have an obligation to create the peace. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Sister Naima have approached a very serious, critical subject matter concerning the connection with Scripture and the abuse and the oppression of women. How can that be? The words come from, if the words come from
the Lord and creator of us all, then that should not create the present situation that we are witnessing now. An abuse of women, a devaluing of women, and a separation of male and female, that true religion within the right context and the proper understanding would never create such an environment as we all are witnessing and living through right now. In relationship to the revealed word of God, I want to refer us to the fourth surah of the Quran. It is a surah or chapter that is named the women. It is the fourth chapter of the Quran. And these are the uncompromising words of the Creator that created us all. And I want to share with you what Almighty God says concerning the women. There's a whole chapter dedicated to the women. And also, in the Quran, there's a whole chapter that is named after Maryam, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Praise be to Allah. But let me share with you from out of the fourth surah entitled Nisa, or the women. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق من زوجها وأبث منهم رجلا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام صدق الله العظيم. Surely Almighty God seeks the truth. And that was the first ayat, or the first verse, in the chapter Nisa, or the women. And Almighty God says to all of us through this chapter, O mankind, reverence your guardian Lord, who created you from a single person, created of like nature, his name, and from those two scattered countless men and women. Reverence God, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you, for God ever watches over you. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, surely Almighty God spoken the truth. So this first ayat, this first verse here, clears up a lot of very critical issues, clears up a lot of matters that we are wrestling with concerning the relationship between the male and female. We have to realize and understand that humanity has an enemy, has an avowed enemy, And Satan is just as real as anything else. He is referred to as Satan in the English language and as Shaitan in the Islamic verbiage. He is referred to as Shaitan. So if you have the human being as your vile enemy and you want to trip him up and thwart the destiny that God has planned for the human family, what better way than to separate the male from the female? For that is how how human life grows. It starts with two entities, the male and female. And we have been somewhat persuaded to think that the female nature and the male nature are at odds with each other, but they aren't. They are designed to meld into oneness, into oneness. Allah says here, O mankind, reverence your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, from a single person. And that personage we refer to as Adam. And Adam has a nature that God placed within Adam. And Almighty God says here that he created you from a single person, from a single person, from the nature of Adam, from the constitution and the essence of Adam, And Almighty God said, created of like nature, his mate. Where was his mate? His mate is with him at all times, through the study of biology and science. We are aware that we are born, we come here, and we know nothing. And it is God that designates our sex, whether we will be male or female. But both entities are contained in every human being. There are female attributes in the male, and there are male attributes in the female. But know that they come from the same nature. Allah says, created of like nature, his mate. And from those two. Now, here is a key to what is happening. Allah says, and made from them two scattered countless men and women. So how would you want to stop that process? You create a schism between the male and the female, between the male and the female. Sister Naima shared with us some quotes that have been misread and taken out of context that are connected to both scriptures, the Bible and the Quran. In the Bible, I have read it myself, where it says a woman's voice should not be heard in the assembly. In the assembly. That means a woman go over there, sit down, and you just be quiet and listen. We don't need to hear your opinion nor your thinking. But that verse needs to be understood. You know, when we use the word community, the Quranic terminology is ummah. Ummah means community, ummah. And means mother. So here's two connections with the female and the community. The community is described as a female. The community is a womb, a place of safety and security that is designed, if designed properly, to bring about the best example of human beings, of fully developed, fully formed, balanced human beings. So when we hear that verse, you know, there is secular life as it is described, and there is religious life. Let me go back to the beginning where Almighty God advises the male and the female that there is a tree in the midst of the garden. Do not approach it. Don't go near it. And it is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know Satan, with his subtlety, he was able to trick the man and the woman to approach that tree and eat its fruits. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it represents a lot of things, but one thing I'll focus on. Good is the word of Almighty God. It is good. It is good. It is excellent. It is hasanatin. It is good. But then you have the opinion of the world, of worldly men and women, and they make judgments, and they value things according to their perspective, according to their thinking. They make judgments, and sometimes people accept a judgment that's coming from outside sources and not from the word of Almighty God. The Prophet Muhammad has said, bad is that which troubles the heart, even though a legal opinion has been rendered. Now, when we hear the word legal opinion, we know that deals with governing bodies that will identify for the human being what is good and what is bad. What is good and what is bad. So the opinion of the community, any opinion outside of the revealed word of Almighty God should not have any weight in the assembly of God-fearing people. They follow the word of God. They follow the word of God and not the judgment of men and women, not the judgment of men and women. That is a small identification of the tree of good and evil. So when we go to our sacred places of worship, we go there to hear the words and the guidance and the direction of the Creator, of He who created us, and not the opinions of the world. The world will say to you that something is bad, that it's good, and that which is good is bad. Shun it. So we do not look to this world to give us an identification of what is good and what is bad. We look to the word of Almighty God in our scriptures. So the idea of the woman should not be heard in the assembly means do not bring the opinion of others in connection with what God has revealed. Follow the revealed word of Almighty God and not the opinion of men and women and the community. We address community concerns, but the ultimate aim when you are going to places of worship is to hear the instructing guidance and words of Almighty God, not the opinion of the world. So that
that women should not be be heard in the assembly. And I take assembly to mean the congregation of believers. We don't look to the world to give us our value system. We look to the word of Almighty God, as that is the proper way to look at that verse. The voice of the woman should not be heard in the assembly. The voice of the woman should not be heard in the assembly. Public opinion does not carry any weight next to the revealed word of Almighty God. Praise be to Allah. And from the Islamic point of view, from out of the Quran, there is a word called darabah. And it is connected with a commentary on a verse from the Quran which has been misinterpreted. And the interpretation is in the commentary that you can beat your women lightly. That is a misreading of the Arabia. That is an incorrect commentary on the word daraba. Daraba means to separate yourself, to walk away from, to separate yourself from an unruly wife. Now, we know that this occurred in the life of the Prophet Muhammad, who prayed the prayers and the peace upon him. As we know, he had five wives, and in the, I would say, the management of that relationship, jealousies arose between the wives. They were upset with not having equal time spent with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. And that weighed heavily on our Prophet Muhammad. They somewhat became unruly. And Almighty God revealed to our Prophet Muhammad the prescription for dealing with that. Darab, separate from them. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad went into seclusion. He went into seclusion. And, of course, they missed him. And Almighty God reveals through the Quran and to all of us, speaking to the wife, that if you want this world, we will have the Prophet Muhammad set you up handsomely. In other words, give you enough to sustain yourself. And he will divorce you. Then God says that he will bless the Prophet Muhammad with righteous wives that do not desire this world, but will love him, that Allah would replace them. So from that, it was very important. Otherwise, it would not have been, and it would not be a part of the revelation in the Quran. It does not mean beat them. You know, police officers used to walk what they call walk a beat through our neighborhoods. We don't see that too much anymore. But
right.
That is what that is referring to, the sound of the feet as you walk away from them. You know, we recently had a discussion on this past Wednesday here on the female solution on domestic violence, and that men are the protectors of women. Let me see something. I'm wondering if my sister's speaking because her mic is open.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm sorry. I had my speaker off my sister and couldn't see. And I'm just talking.
Yes, we hear you.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. But you really bring up an excellent subject. Most of our problems, the heat comes from out of religious thought. Most about the inequality between men and women, the inequality between races, comes from a misreading or a purposefully distorted written part of scripture and say this is from God. But truly it's not. It's from the mind of a biased mind. It's from a biased mind. I'll stop right there.
A biased mind. Yes. Well, you have given us some profound information, and we've got a few comments from our Facebook viewers. Our Monday Morning Mindfulness host, Doug, says, Grand Rising Sacred Souls, thanks for sharing this information. Everyone who hears this needs to share it. Absolutely, yes. And our Friday and Sunday host, Diata, says, Grand Rising. It's a beautiful day no matter where you are, listening and expecting good energy here. Yes, we're giving good energy because we have to correct the negative that is shaping behavior. We're going to take another quick break, but I wanted to make an observation from something that I heard recently in a description of heaven and hell. Heaven is when you enjoy doing things that bring good to people. Hell is when you enjoy doing things that bring harm to people. And in hearing that definition, I thought about how some people enjoy treating people well. That is what brings happiness to their soul, a sense of satisfaction. And so they share goodness because that's what's inside of them. And then you have other people who enjoy creating hardship for people, who enjoy doing things that hurt people, saying things that hurt people's feelings, doing things that make people feel bad, causing them pain both physically and emotionally. They enjoy that. And that is hell, because that truly does not bring you into the loving presence of the divine in a way that brings peace to the soul. But that's what you choose to do. And you mentioned that the negative energy that is referred to as Satan or Shaitan or the devil. And I think about what Flip Wilson, as his character, Geraldine, used to say whenever she did something that she really wanted to do anyway. She said, well, the devil made me do it. The devil made me buy this dress. The devil made me do it. You know, and, of course, what that is, we choose to tune into that negative energy that brings joy in doing something that is in some way harmful to someone that we wanted to do anyway. And we blame something outside of ourselves, but it really is our own inner being because we made those choices. We made those choices to do something that we know was hurtful. So even when I look at the misinterpretations of scriptures, and I want to thank you so much for bringing what is a reflection of the Spirit of God, the loving energy, to the meanings of those scriptures. Because people who chose to interpret them in a way that caused so much harm, they did that on purpose. They wanted to do that. What makes a person choose to see words as meaning that someone needs to be hurt? Why would they enjoy that? Why would someone enjoy the idea of silencing someone, making a scripture mean that this particular gender should never have a right to speak when that's not what it meant, or having a scripture mean that a man can beat his wife, or even a scripture saying that parents can beat their children. Why would someone enjoy causing pain? That is a question in my heart, because that was a choice that those who interpreted those words made purposely. And we could say the devil made me do it, but who chooses to tune into the negative energy that produces a thought that encourages us to cause harm? We made that choice. Why are we making that choice? So,
you know,
we're going to reflect on that. We're going to take a quick break and come back and get your thoughts and any callers that you have on your line, and, of course, any callers on our line. And you can call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. We want to get to the root of that. Why are we choosing to hurt when the guidance was clearly from our Creator to love? We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
So I was telling my brothers, if they ever had daughters, to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things, and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and if I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like, because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Animal, where the strong male is the protector. So that would seem to be the natural order. And you don't see males attacking females in other species in that manner. Even though, and animals do have a culture, we have to respect all life, animals have a culture, but it is always bent towards survival. So human culture, if it makes sense, would also be geared towards survival. So if you're surviving as a species, one gender would not attack the other or threaten the livelihood and the safety of the other. There's something misshapen in human culture where this keeps evolving, it just keeps surfacing. So we're looking at where is the root of this, and if what we're choosing to do is cause harm, why is that happening? Generally, what is the law of reaping and sowing? You reap what you sow. Where have the seeds of hostility toward women been sown? And we know that every time a mother gives birth, she's bringing forth the next generation and shaping what will come out of that next generation. So I want to bring the idea to mind that our capacity to reflect the love of the Creator is manifested in what we're producing in our children. We know that the love of a mother has such healing power, such empowering abilities. It can build strength, self-esteem, confidence, but it can also cause pain. Because one thing women have learned to do to equalize the strength of the male is the physical strength, is to develop a very strong verbal ability. And sometimes what we say in our desire to shape behavior is harmful. And we're choosing to do that. Why are we choosing to do that? Are we expressing anger at the way we have been repressed, the way we have been perhaps mistreated or beaten or abandoned? One abuse leads to another, and that leads to another, and leads to another. So if women are mistreated in the society, where does the anger at that mistreatment, it doesn't disappear, it gets directed at the children. And when that happens, then where does the anger in the children go? Well, it doesn't disappear, it gets directed at the world. So we're always reaping what we're sowing. How do we stop this cycle of abuse, of emotional abuse at each other? And somehow mothers have to acknowledge that what's coming out of them is the unhealed hurt that they have experienced so that they choose not to inflict it on their children. If there is unresolved anger at men, it's going to be inflicted upon their sons. And the sons then will manifest it in their treatment of women. Someone has to stop the cycle. And it doesn't mean just swallow whatever bad treatment that you have experienced. It means recognizing that it's inside of you. And choosing to heal the hurt rather than express it at someone else. Because that's what we're doing. There's so many men right now with anger issues toward women. Where did it come from? However you feel about your mother is going to be reflected in how you treat women. So what a man wants to see his mother beaten, then why would that come out of a belief that God would say that? Would a man want his mother to not be able to speak her mind? Then why would the belief that the Creator is telling people that? Where is that coming from?
Naima.
So we have to fix the hurt between the genders in order for us to produce a healthy next generation. And you were going to respond to that?
Yes. I want to go back directly to the source where this all began and how it began. In order to solve any problem, you must go to the, and you're so correct, how did this happen? What caused this? So we want to address the cause as we're struggling with the effect. I mentioned Shaitan. I mentioned Satan, an avowed enemy to the human being. According to the scriptures, Satan made promises to Adam, inviting him to approach forbidden fruit, the forbidden tree. The Shaitan suggests to Adam, and Adam is male and female, let me say that. It is the original nature in which God created human beings. But Satan suggested to the mind of Adam to eat the fruit of this tree, and he promised him that you will eat the food of the angels. He says to this, that he suggests to this man, and you shall be like God. You shall be like God. So what is Satan offering the man? We know Almighty God, highly praised be he, has absolute authority and power. Authority and power over the whole of creation and over us. And over us. So he is promising him, leave off that moral teaching that God gave you. I know another way, a better way, that you can gain this world. Leave off morality. And he promises him, and you shall be as God. So there is a subtle suggestion and influence on the human being to want the authority that only God has, to have the power, a hunger for power and authority. A hunger for power and authority. And that is what is fueling this, most of our problems, is that we want to be gods, little gods, over someone, over absolute power and authority. Almighty God says, any who desires power and authority, Almighty God denies him that, although they are doing their thing. The female has not surrendered. She has not surrendered to live under the power and authority of another human being. That is what causes the conflict. And likewise, there are women that desire power and authority. Satan promises you, and he fails in his promise. Look at our situation now. God promises you, and God follows up on every good thing that he offers you. God keeps his word. So that desire for power and authority over someone, they have fashioned that into a male. Wait, let me go deeper than that. To even think that God, the Creator, is a male, that he is a male, lends itself to this inequality that we see between male and female. Almighty God is one of the Almighty God created human beings. He created male and female. He is neither. He is neither. God is bigger than that. God is not what he has created. God always has existed. So this idea of God being a man, subtly suggests to the mind of men to be as God, to have power and authority over others. And that is only trusted to Almighty. God said that he even denies himself oppression. God denies him. He does not oppress us. God gave us free will, free will. And we are to make those choices plain and clear as to what is good and what is bad for us. He will not make us follow his way. God gave the man free choice. So this idea of God being a man, as long as that is in the subconscious of human beings, there will be no real equality to portray God as a male. God created men. God is not a man. God created female. He is not female. God is creator. He is the creator, and he is not that which he created. So this suggestion from Satan, follow this way, Adam. Leave off morals, leave off consequences by any means necessary. Obtain the wealth and the goods of this world, and you will be as God. That is in Scripture, and that has a subtle influence on all of us, especially as they continue to portray the Creator as a male. God created male. So to me, that's the source root of it. That's at the source of this dilemma we find ourselves in. The proper identification of the human being in relationship to his Creator. We have to clear that up. We have to make that clear. So Satan promises, and Satan never keeps his promise. All he has created is discord and violence on the earth.
So I again think of the definition that I recently saw of heaven and hell, of the choices that we make to be either a reflection of heaven or a reflection of hell. And again, it is our free will choice, regardless mm-hmm. of what entity we choose to be influenced by. It is a choice we're making. So heaven is when you enjoy doing good to others.
Heaven is where there is no corruption and no deceit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if people are choosing to believe that God is mean-spirited and cruel, that is a choice they're making. And so the idea that I can be like God, I can be mean, I can have power over others, I can make people do what I want, I can keep them in a state of fear, that's an incorrect belief about what God is. And so wanting to hurt someone and believing that is what God is, one that causes pain and suffering and hurt and fear, so that others are forced to obey, That is the deception that one has chosen to follow. And why are we choosing that? Why would we enjoy causing pain and harm and having people fear us and being able to hurt people? Why would we enjoy that? That's the hell that's on the inside of us that we're bringing on the outside and creating around us. Why would you enjoy causing pain when the same choice is available? And that is to cause harm. That is to cause peace, to cause joy, to cause happiness, to bring good. We have the same choice. We have the free will to do either one. So we have to look at ourselves and ask, why am I enjoying causing suffering? What is inside of me?
And
we have a comment here. There it is. And thank you, Bob Starks, for joining us this morning. He says, that's great, yes. And Viata says, my parents were very critical because they wanted us to be better. And growing up with an alcoholic parent, I became more controlling as a parent. I practiced the criticism and control on my son, and I think all children have resentment as a result of that energy. I know better now and doing better with my grand and adult sons. Well, that's a very powerful insight, because we all know that our mothers are very powerful in the shaping of our self-esteem. And I want to take a look at that for a moment, what she said before we take our next break, because what is it that makes us critical of our children is the fear that they're going to be less than what we think society would accept. And so we're projecting our fears on them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. We have a caller here on the AM 360 board. When you want to, I will open up their mic.
Yes, well, we'll take that caller before we take a break. Go right ahead.
Okay. Erica 727-741. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Martha Nyla Abdullah of the Sunshine State
Thank
of Florida.
I mean. Alhamdulillah. Greetings of peace to everyone. That peace, yes. And I very simply am going to say this, and maybe it just became an acknowledgement to myself, but everyone, and reading Bible, coming up as Baptist, as Christian, and hearing, and get you down from here, and enmity shall be between you. So I took it to mean man and woman, male and female. But just, I mean, my eyes opened, I'm going, oh, the enmity is from the enemy. It's caused by the enemy. And the enemy is Shaitan, or Satan, the devil, that mentality that gets into us, whispers, and we follow it. And so the enmity, so now that's a layer taken away in my mind, that is not the bloodshed that will be caused by the enmity between man and woman, but it's between mankind and Shaitan. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much, sister. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, but I want people to reflect on this thought. There's only one power in the universe. There are not two powers. There's only one. There's only the Creator. And then there's the absence of awareness of the Creator. Just like there's only light and darkness. There's only light. There's not two energies. There's only light and the absence of light. You can't go into a room and turn on darkness. Darkness can be present with the absence of light. But darkness has no power. It's only the absence of light. That which we identify as Shaitan, the devil, Satan, has no power. It's only the absence of our awareness of God. So we can choose to be aware of God, or we can choose to not be aware. But the unawareness has no power. Just like the darkness has no power. It only has the power we give it. So we can choose not to give it power. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9891 or 515-605-9325. Press 1, and we'll get your thoughts. Or you can join us on Facebook or YouTube on the Female Solution channel and write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We got a caller on our line. We'll come back to you, 773-737, in just one moment. So stay with us.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
As-salamu alaykum. This is the Preeta Hadi, Director for the MCNRD, Model Community National Resource Directory. With the MCNRD four-step process to becoming a CWSC volunteer. Number one, go to CWSC.us. Number two, click the MCNRD tab. Number three, register as an individual or organization, nonprofit or for-profit. Number four, thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are now a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD Directory, the Model Community National Resource Directory. Thank you so kindly, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
this is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
So as we take a look at how to change the situation, we have to take responsibility for whatever our role is in perpetuating it. What is inside of us that makes us perpetuate the pain that others experience? So as mothers, we're given a very powerful role, and that is to shape the culture by instilling values in the next generation. But you can only give what you have been given, and you only have inside of you what has been placed inside of you. And if you have had inside of you fear, then that's what you give to your children. Is it fear of harm? Is it fear that they will not be respected? Or is it fear that they will not be provided for? Is it fear that they will be hurt? So the critical tongue of a mother, is it based on her desire to protect them from something that she experienced? Well, sometimes it is. If you are afraid that if your child doesn't excel in school, then perhaps they will not be provided for, they will not find a means of taking care of themselves, they might be homeless and indigent, and in your fear, you say things to them like, you're so lazy, you're so stupid, and you think that you're going to motivate them to try harder if you use negative words. Well, you know, for many mothers, that's what they believe. If they have experienced something negative, they believe that they can perhaps instill enough fear in their children to make them do the opposite. They're believing that they're being helpful, but what they're causing is pain to the child they're trying to motivate, because their method of mothering is coming out of fear and not love. And fear is the absence, is the opposite of love. Because our Creator does not teach us from a point of fear, but from a point of love. So the best guidance and teaching and revelation come from a place of fear, because the Creator does not fear. There is no fear. There's only one power in the universe. The Creator does not fear a devil. The Creator does not fear anything. There is no fear. So therefore, the way we are given guidance is through love. That is the best method of parenting. So if we're using fear-based teachings toward our children, that is incorrect. That's why it causes pain rather than insight and understanding. If we are intending to guide our children by making them fear that they're going to suffer, then we're the ones that are the source of their suffering, saying awful things to someone so that they will fear you or fear your wrath or fear the power of your tongue and feel bad. That is not the way the Creator imparts knowledge or guidance. So why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? So we've got a caller on our line, and let us know if you have a caller on your switchboard. We're going to go to area code 773-737. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. Wait, oh, and y'all shalom. Grand Rising. This is Mama D in Chicago.
Yes, ma'am.
Good, Mama D. Good to hear you.
Thank you. Thank you. Love and fear for every action. And the mother is the first teacher, and she should be teaching love. But when you, as a member of the subjugated race, has had 345 years of federal laws against you as a group until 1954, when the Supreme Court ruled that segregation laws only existed to keep the status of the Negro down, not everybody, but the Negro down. And in 2001, the United Nations voted this as crimes against humanity, resulting, it has not been repaired, and so that has resulted in intergenerational epigenetic inheritance DNA. But the solution to change the situation is we have to come out of denial. Stop having the victim blame the victim for being victimized. And look at today's black woman. She is meeting her needs. So she's leading in politics and every other profession on earth except the profession of motherhood. So, that when it comes to the violence of abortion, she is killing more living souls than any other source. And so nobody wants to look at that and look at her actions. What is her actions doing to the black family, especially if she's a lesbian? If she's a lesbian, she's a double treat. So what does that do to the black family? So when you are acting out of a sense of need and greed, this is the kind of situation that we find ourselves in. And why can't we just say, hey, the violence of abortion, it is an act of violence. And my question is, if women who bring forth life do not have any respect for life, what does that do to the family? And where will the respect for life come from?
That's a great question. And this is what I would ask. Yes. Did you want to respond to that first, Kareem? Go right ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The Creator addresses the subject of abortion in the Quran 1,445 years ago. He says to humanity, kill not your children out of want. Kill not your children out of want. God provides for you and will provide for them. So on the other side of abortion, there is something that the male or female is desiring on the other side of having eradicated that child. There's something that they want. Allah says, kill not your children out of want. That can be poverty, a certain status, a certain position. You know, I can't have this child now, for I'm climbing the corporate ladder, or either I cannot afford to care for this child. God answers that. He said he provided for you, and he will provide for that child. We, as I stated earlier, the Satan said, he promised the man, follow this way, and you will be as God, as God. Now, we know Almighty God has the authority and power of life and death, of life and death. And some of us take it upon ourselves to decide who will live and who will die. Almighty God prohibits that. Kill not your children out of warmth. So it is addressed in our Quran that we should not acquiesce to or utilize abortion to eliminate another precious soul. That's what you're really killing, a precious soul that God has sent to the earth. But now, like the Shaitan said, follow this way, and you will be as God. So that desire to want to be God is causing a lot of problems for us. We need to know the proper relationship between the Creator and ourselves. Follow the commands, follow the guidance of Almighty God, and don't follow the opinions of this world that is coming from the tree of good and evil. Don't follow the opinions of this world. Matter of fact, our beloved prophet Jesus said, I am not of this world. I am not of this world. For this world is ruled by Satan. This world is ruled by Satan. So when we follow the regular trend of life, the trends, instead of following the word of Almighty God, this is the trouble that we run into, what we are faced with now. So in order to...
You know, I have a thought I'd like to share on that. All actions stem from two emotions, either love or fear, everything we do. So, of course, the love, whether it's the love, the intimacy between the two parties that had an experience together that should have been based on love and produced the biological change that made it possible for a soul to enter the body of the woman and come forth as a child. There's the love that action then generated and made possible for life to come forth. Or there's fear. There's fear of societal condemnation if one does not have the financial means. There is fear of social ostracism if one perhaps is coming from a community that condemns sexual expression outside of marriage. There is fear of poverty. There is fear of, as Kareem mentioned, one's own personal ambitions being disrupted and circumvented, where now you have the responsibility of taking care of a new life that you possibly didn't intend to have. So fear is what drives abortion. And why is that happening? Well, look at, number one, the history of pain and suffering caused to women and inflicted on women who got pregnant
in situations other than what was considered acceptable, you know, marriage to your husband and preparedness for a family. Then there's also a society that does not provide for you if you don't have money. So homeless mothers, mothers who can't find a means to feed their children. So there is fear that motivates that choice. What if we remove the things that women fear? And what if we were collectively parenting children so that whether the mother herself had the financial means, the child was not treated badly, as children have been treated badly when they have been born to single mothers? We've done that. We created the environment that created the fear that led to the decision to create to have the abortion, to remove the vessel of life from the womb. We did that in our society. We could remove the reason for the abortion, which is the fear that the child would not be loved and taken care of, and the mother would be in some way treated badly because of her status as a mother without a husband. And then there are some women who get abortions, like Kareem mentioned, you know, they decide, well, I don't want this to interfere with my career. They might be married, but they didn't want the child, which is, you know, selfish reasons. But again, fear that they will not achieve whatever it is they believe would get them the respect of the society. But we also have to understand that when life comes forth, there are three people making a decision. There is the father who makes the decision by planting the seed, because nothing can happen without that. And then there is the soul of the child that chooses to enter the body of the mother. That souls already exist. We don't create souls. Souls are already created by our creator. They choose to enter the mother. And then the mother makes the choice to bring that child forth. So there are three people who are making a decision. The father's decision pretty much ends once he plants the seed. So if his intention was not to be the father, if his intention was not to love the mother, raise the child along with the mother, then his planting the seed was an incorrect choice. It was a choice that was going to ultimately cause pain. Why was he choosing to do that? The child, of course, makes a choice to enter the mother because they choose to have this earth experience. They choose to do this. So if a mother chooses to remove the body, the fetus, the vessel that this child was going to inhabit, this soul was going to come through, then she has then circumvented the choice of that soul to have this life experience. She has not killed the soul, because you cannot kill a soul. But she has disrupted their choice to have this earth experience through her. Now, there's sometimes souls make decisions. The soul of the child can make a decision to change their mind. That's what a stillborn is. They've changed their mind. They decided, I don't want to come forth right now. And they have that right as well. So if we understand these things, that the act of procreation does not just involve one person, then we don't do it with the selfishness that we've been doing it, whether it's a man just selfishly wanting pleasure but not wanting any responsibility for the outcome, or the woman not wanting the responsibility and fearing that she will not be able to be a parent, or that the society will not give her the protection and the assistance if the father is not present to do his job as her partner in raising this child. So when people do things not out of love, then we see hurt. So again, hell is created when we're doing things that cause harm. And why are we choosing to do
on the AM 360 board?
So Mama D, let's take this caller and then you can respond to what they have to say. So let's take that caller on AM 360. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
314-337. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum. Rasheed Salam, St. Louis, Missouri.
Wa alaikum assalam, Rasheed Salam. How are you, my
yes,
brother?
Sir. I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful conversation today. And I just want to add my little bit in here as you were talking and everyone was talking. Everybody has said some phenomenal things. I just want the question she brought up earlier, you know, what's wrong? Why are we doing these particular things? And I think we failed to understand, and the sister Mama D made a very good point too, so I'm going to try to put this together real quickly and just say what I really wanted to say about this. What happened to us? We're going through what we refer to as the trauma of the human mind. Brother Kareem has mentioned some things about what Satan has done and so forth and so on, but we forget the one key element here that how can you think about the great things that we're talking about, what mothers are supposed to do and how people are supposed to act, when whoever controls the mind controls the person? So the information that's happened to us, we're going to have to basically pay attention to one thing. I call it the Humpty Dumpty theory. We've been cracked. We've been broken. And we don't have the proper mechanisms to really think properly because our brains have been damaged by the historical and generational trauma that has happened to us, and our gene pool has been deficient. So what do we have to do? That operating mechanism for us to even think properly has been destroyed. All we have to do is just look around. All we have to do is pay attention to what's being said today. Even the point on heaven, the state of mind, heaven and hell, where's the state of mind? So if someone has broken our thinking process, if someone controls our thinking process, then we have to do one thing. We have to go back to its original source and pretty much look yourself in the mirror to unlearn so we begin to relearn. What is a human being? What has happened to this human being? The old saying goes, know thyself. I take it from this perspective. Take the F off. Know thyself, because our cells are made up of everything in our human body. If they have been damaged, our perception, our ability to think, our ability to neutralize or provide our brain with the proper nutrients for it to even function properly has been damaged. That's why our good behavior has been damaged. That's why our memory has been damaged. Our perception has been damaged. Our judgment has been damaged. Those wavelengths that we're on, that is not a human being. And I'll just read this one particular statement that I read years and years ago. I've never forgotten that. When the Congressman Henry Bibby in Congress made a statement that we have almost eliminated any possibility that knowledge could enter the slave's mind. If we can exhaust this one part of them, we will be safe, and they will be like beasts of the field. Ladies and gentlemen, look at what's happening to our young people. They're not acting like human beings. Either you're a human being or you something else. Now, what is that something else? It's behavior. It's our ability to think and reason, the ability to process information. The natural nature has been destroyed, and we're going to have to accept it. We're going to have to stop as mothers, fathers, and begin to look at ourselves and ask ourselves this question, what happened to us? That's the trauma of the mind, the trauma, the science that goes into what makes a brain function right. Is our brain being nourished properly? We talk about all these seeds that people are eating, the food that we're eating, the salt that we're eating, nutrients to function properly. If we don't have proper nutrition, you don't have proper glucose, you don't have proper heat, proper thermal energy that goes into that brain to make sure your brain functions the way it's supposed to function, then we have some serious, serious issues. It has to do with our ability to think and reason and perceive. We don't have that ability. So I'm not trying to say we're not acting in a manner we're supposed to. I'm telling you, we're not acting as human beings. We're not. So we have to do this particular thing. Stop. Get our children together. Get our own selves together. What don't you know about your body? What don't you know about your cell, your disposition? What don't you know about how your brain works, how your kidney works, how all those things work? Because they're interconnected, interrelated, and integrated. And that's been broken. That's the energy level that we're operating on. And I'm not going to say too much more about it, but, you know, we have to just understand this one thing. We are broken. Now, how do we fix it? It's a state of mind that we're going to have to try to
You know, it starts with a first trimester of a mother's birth, second trimester of a mother's birth, the third trimester. Those things are not, they haven't been done properly. You know, when you start talking about abortion, come on. The greatest connection between a human being is a baby. So anyway, let me stop right there. I'm really excited about what I'm listening to, but we have to get to the core, the true understanding on what really happened to us, and that's the trauma of the human mind. Thank you so much.
Rashid, before you leave, you know, we have to admit that this is happening at the universal level.
Yes, sir.
It's not ethnic. Satan is not a respecter of ethnicity, although he can influence how we think about ethnicity, but Satan is an avowed enemy to all human beings.
Absolutely.
Right. So, and when we make the correction of our proper relationship with the, it begins with the Creator and creation. The Creator and creation. See God in the proper context, in the proper light, in the proper regard of his existence, of God's existence, and our proper relationship with the Creator. I'm talking about all of us. Every soul that's floating on this blue marble have been negatively affected by the influence of the enemy of the human being, the human being, not just African Americans, not just Asians or Hispanics. He have done a thorough job of influencing everything in the creation, sends a message to our mind.
That's exactly where I started with human beings. And we're talking about us as well, you know. But the point is, the human being has been damaged. It has been destroyed. It has been destroyed in the proper nature that God created us in. Even if you recognize religion has been here since the beginning of time. But if you don't have the tools, mental tools to perceive, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. So I'm not taking anything away from religion. I'm just saying our perception of God in a manner which we have been trained and affected by, as you say, the whole world has been affected by him. We have to go back. What is a human being, and are you being human? You have to ask yourself that question.
I have a thought.
Yes.
So I have a thought I'd like to ask all of us who are listening, and then we got another caller at 407-701. We're going to open your mic. But I recently, over the last several weeks, have had experiences with groups of people. Well, one, of course, was the experience in South Korea, being in the presence of people from a multinational, multi-ethnic, multiracial gathering of people at an event sponsored by the organization HWPL, which stands for Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Light. And a heavenly culture is one in which there is only love. And the amazing thing was that this is what I experienced in the behavior and the treatment of all of the people that I encountered there. Everyone was choosing to be kind and choosing to be loving, choosing to be respectful, choosing to be considerate and compassionate. Everyone was choosing to do that. And that's what created the heavenly culture. They were making the choice to be an expression of God, which is only love, not fear, punishment, anger, wrath, none of those things that we misteach that God is, that people perhaps believe they can be like if they have power over others. But the real spirit of God is only love, and that's what I experienced. And then, again, this past weekend, I had a wonderful experience with our co-host on our host on Tuesday, and several of our other hosts were there in Marietta, Georgia. Again, multiracial, multi-ethnic, multi-gender, well, you know, two gender, there's only two actually, but, you know, male and female there. Very, again, loving atmosphere. Everyone was choosing to be loving. Everyone was choosing to be kind and generous. And And so it was a heavenly culture, a heavenly atmosphere. There was only love because of the choices people were making on how to treat each other. That is a choice. There is no power that makes you be unkind. It is your choice. Why are you choosing to be unkind when the heaven that is available for you is right here if you choose it? So it's a choice. Heaven is a choice that we can live every day if we understand that there's only love.
There you go.
So that's all we have to do. It's right here. There's no devil that is making us be mean. We're choosing to reflect that energy. We can just as easily choose to reflect the energy of God. But my question is, how many of us have actually experienced in our upbringing with our parents people who created a heavenly culture where we had no fear, not fear of being beaten, not fear of being yelled at, not fear of being neglected and abandoned, or not fear of being ostracized or insulted, not fear of being physically hurt by somebody who might not have been in their right mind because they were on alcohol or drugs or whatever else makes people choose to mistreat people. How many of us had the experience growing up where there was no fear? Because if there is no fear, then we can experience the love of the Creator. And that is the heavenly culture. But how many of us experienced it so that we could recreate it?
I would say very few. What happened to us? That's exactly what you're saying. The state of mind that you're talking about has environmental, historical, generational impact. We have to look back at the environments that we grew up in, the pain, the suffering, as you say, suicidal tendencies, the hurting, the killing, the misinterpretation of things and how you feel about somebody. How many of us had that beautiful environment you talk about to be able to just step into that decision that can be made if that decision is in you? You can only be what your life experiences are. All we are is a culmination of our life experiences. If you have
Absolutely.
That ability to recognize love, praise God. If you don't, then guess
Absolutely.
What? Fundamentally, you're going to go through vindictiveness. You're going to go through temper tantrums. You're going to go through stealing and cheating and mistreating people. That's going to happen because your environment created that in you.
That's where it comes from, what you experience. And so a mother has the power to create a heavenly culture in the home, but if she has been mistreated, then that's not what's inside of her, and so that's not what she's going to be able to give. Let's open the mic to our dear sister down in Florida, area code 407-701. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising, Naima and Brother Kareem, this is Diada, Friday morning and Sunday evening host. I want to thank Mama D and Kareem for promoting life, because we have a political force going on that is promoting death. And I say that because last week or a week before, I did a show on pregnancy, and actually our Tuesday morning host also brought on a guest to promote life, birth, pregnancy, and then I brought on more doulas that I am in the community of to promote more life. And I watched an interview of our Vice President Kamala Harris, and the interview was titled the Maternal Crisis that we have, where three times the number of black women are dying in maternal situations, whether pregnant or the baby dying. And Kamala Harris did a great job the first half of the interview of, being sympathetic to the maternal crisis. And then right in the middle of the interview, she started talking about reproductive health. We have to have more abortion clinics. We have to have women need to have the choice to have abortions. And she started out calling it reproductive health. And then near the end of her speech, she started just admitting, we need to have more abortions. So I praise Mama D and Kareem and all of us
who are saying no. When we have a crisis, and that's what the answer to your question, Naima, why is this happening? What's happening? We have an agenda by our political system and Planned Parenthood to practice eugenics, to practice killing babies, not helping mothers have healthy pregnancies. So I just praise you, Naima, and everyone on the show who know consciously that we have to, or we should, we don't have to, but we should be promoting life every chance we get, because there's a force in our government, particularly our vice president, who works for Planned Parenthood and any other lobbyist that gives them money to promote their corporation that is doing what they do, which is promoting the death and the end of a pregnancy. So that was my thought. I had to call in because when Mama D was talking so much about, I said, this is beautiful, this is beautiful. Yes, Mama D, keep it up, Mama D. I said, this is what we need to do. Whatever they say, when as our former First Lady Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high, and we promote life and how to help women have healthy pregnancies and how to have mothers and sons get along better and how we all need to take responsibility for the mistakes we made as parents. And I take full responsibility of being a very critical and controlling parent, but I have a better relationship with my grandchildren and my adult sons because I took responsibility for being that critical and controlling parent. So thank you, Naima, for this topic. Thank you, Brother Kareem, for being a man of consciousness and a man of character. Have a great day, everybody.
And thank you so much, Yada. You know, the reality is the grandparents that are supposed to be raising the children, because they have the wisdom. Parents, yes, we biologically, you know, in our late teens and 20s and 30s, yes, we're biologically fit to parent, but it's the grandparents who have the wisdom. And you'll find in the healthiest cultures, that's who raises the children while the parents are doing whatever work that they do. But if our culture was balanced in that perspective, we would not have young mothers believing they have to, or even older mothers believing they have to take the life of a child, or they have to expel the unborn child from their womb because they're not financially or emotionally equipped to be a parent. If we had the kind of extended family, loving, communal structure in our culture, then that abortion issue would not have escalated to the degree that it has, because too many women are having pregnancies outside of the structure of family and the intention of bringing forth life, so that the woman is believing that her only choice is to get rid of the life that she wasn't prepared to mother, as opposed to the community lovingly bringing forth that life. And the father's planting seeds because he's thinking, I can get pleasure out of this act, not even understanding what it means to be a man and a male and a father species, in which we see the female trying to extract her unborn child before it's born. You don't see that anywhere. Nature always shows us how the Creator has designed life as an interconnected web of life, and we're the ones out of order in that life. We're the only ones doing these things. So if we would change our culture and make it based on love and unity and cooperation and oneness, then the choice to circumvent the soul's choice that chose to come through us would not keep happening. We must create a heavenly culture in which a child can be born into. So we have another caller before we wrap up.
Yes, ma'am. I believe this is Minister Floyd Plump. I'm quite sure
yes.
It is. Well, thank you, Minister Floyd Plump. How are you?
Yes.
Well,
and Minister Plum, I'm going to see if I can give Mama D
yes.
a chance to respond, because I said I was going to give her a moment to respond.
All right. We win. We're on Yah Shalom. That means we're one in God. Yes, and I think Brother Kareem, as well as Mama D, for promoting life. And in a few words, Black Love Matters, too. And those are our fundraising T-shirts for the community. And, you know, in the word, everybody should look up in 1 John. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And, you know, fear is because fear has torment, and torment develops into hate, and we have to hold ourselves accountable for our conditions of the community, support our efforts as we exercise change. And we want everyone to support the Million Man March and the Million Woman March, Million Family March, because it's our time coming up on October the 16th. 2023, and they can get back in touch with me. Brother Kareem and Mama D, I want y'all to call me personally at 312-882-5935. And you too, Sister Kareem, Sister Naima, the world's greatest radio station. You're welcome. Thank you.
God bless you so much. Yes. And we thank you for reminding us of this momentous occasion that in which men made a pledge to make a difference. Mama D, you got about 30 seconds. I said we'd give you a chance to respond to some statements you made and your response and their response. Go right ahead.
If you don't have food, air, or water, you'll die. If you don't have sex, you will not die. As you so are you. When people make an individual choice to married or unmarried, to bring life. If the life is breathing, it's alive. If the life is not breathing, it's dead. And when you choose to kill it, stop it from breathing, that is a death of what we consider death of a soul. You stop that soul from breathing. And that is a choice, and that is the wrong choice because he never made a mouth that he couldn't feed. But you decide out of convenience to your ex were wrong from the beginning, and it ends up wrong.
Well, all right. Well, we thank you, Mama D, for those words of wisdom. Make a choice based in love. We thank you so much. We thank all of you who have been a part of this discussion. Thanks to my co-host, Kareem Hamid, for such words of wisdom and correction in our understanding of the scriptures so that we may have the right understanding. It's all based in love. And that is what will produce a heavenly culture on earth. So we thank you so much. I'm Naima Latif. And last words before we go, Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. We have a choice in life. Follow the best thereof of what has been revealed to us. Follow the best thereof. And life is sacred. It is not something to play with. And let you know, just one more thing. We have to get back to instructing, molding, and forming the soul of our children. We have given that to someone else. But every household, every individual has the right to shape and mold their children. And I pray that they utilize the words of Almighty God in the proper context. I'll stop right there, my friend.
All right. Well, we thank you so very much. And we thank all of you for listening in and joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. And we want you to join us tomorrow for...
Well, alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God for another wonderful broadcast of the Female Solution. We are grateful to Naima Latif, and praise be to Almighty God to simulcast with us as she presents circumstances and situations which need to be addressed, especially from the perspective of the female. The female is the first teacher. So we must educate our mothers, our wives, and our daughters, for God has entrusted the soul, the newly arriving soul, to the authority of the mother. We thank you for your presence this morning. We can't let me invite you, if you would, to tune back into American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Halal Industries Do For Self. It is hosted by Imam Waleed Ayub Bilal and Brother James Bashir. It airs at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Coast Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. We are grateful for everyone's presence. We came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intention, keep our hearts right, remain forever regardful of the Creator, highly praised be He, keep up our prayers, and remain grateful and thankful for what Almighty God has done for us. Allah asks us, the whole of humanity, out of the Surah Rahman, the 55th chapter of the Quran, Allah asks, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَّاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيِّ أَلَّاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? We must be grateful and thankful for what Almighty God has done for us, what He is doing for us, and what He shall do for us. But we got to be thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, sail and prayer. Devil's press brew coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls can keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things He's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough, can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head.
said, you gotta be all right.
Gotta be all right.
You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference. Any way you can, you gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference. Any way they can, they've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night and friends that last forever and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you.